we could, maybe we'll get the meeting started. We're going to get the meeting started just to end it. And so it's a little confusing here in the morning session. I think we're going to start the meeting, go through the roll call. Then we're going to look to Bob Easter to carry the first minute, first few minutes, because we've got an exciting announcement, I think, that we're all very proud of. And then we're going to take a photograph with the board, and we're going to leave this room to do that, and then we're going to go into executive session. So we have to go through some formalities before we do all of those things, and I'm going to turn to Michelle to begin the meeting and maybe call the roll. Apparently I've left the script.
Dr. Carroll?
Here.
Mrs. Sarah?
Here.
Mr. Kennedy?
Here.
Ms. Khan?
Here.
Dr. Torres?
Here.
Mr. McMillan?
Here.
Mr. Montgomery? Mr. Oliver?
Here.
Mr. Olivier?
Here.
Captain Quinn? Mr. Soso?
Here.
Ms. Strobel?
Here.
Mr. Tortolero?
Here.
Thank you.
So I think what would be easiest now is to we'll call for an executive session now, but then we're going to, then Bob's going to speak for a minute. Okay. So Bob, I'm going to turn the meeting over to you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the board, President Hogan. As we know, there's a real challenge in our nation of encouraging young people to pursue careers in science, math, technical fields. And one of the organizations that has worked very diligently with great success in this arena for many years is the Science Olympiad, based here in Illinois. And it involves competitions among young people in junior high and high school across the nation, and eventually a national competition. We hosted the national competition this past year on our campus. It was a wonderful event. Some people, young people, just incredibly excited about science. We began as a campus a conversation with the leadership of Science Olympiad about 2 years ago about their interest long term in transferring the ownership of this enterprise to us, along with some fairly significant assets. And we're pleased today to just tell you that, and to say that we're approaching closure on an agreement that we hope will allow this to do that. So with no further comment, I'd like to introduce Dr. Gerard Putz, who is the founder of this organization and who's provided incredible leadership now for over 30 years. Jordan.
Thank you, Chancellor Easter, for your support and encouraging words, and thank you, President Hogan and President Kennedy and all of the Board of Trustees for recognizing the importance of Science Olympiad and promoting academics among youth at the pre-college level. For the past 27 years, the Science Olympiad has led the revolution in science education, and we're very, very proud of the work that we've done in investing in the future of America by inspiring youth to get involved in science and also making a significant difference in their lives and their career aspirations in science for millions of students, both male and female, from all 50 states. What started as a small idea with just a few educators to spark interest in science by Jack Kearns and myself and Sharon is now grown to be one of the most prestigious science and technology organizations in all of the United States. The whole Science Olympiad board, who has joined me here today, we're very proud and honored to have taken part in this growth. Allow me to just quickly introduce our board. We have Jack Kearns from Delaware, Mike McKee from Florida, Jim Woodland from Nebraska, Sharon Kutz from Illinois, and Jennifer Kopak from Illinois as well. We're all glad to be here with you today. And Science Olympiad is very proud of the contributions that we've made in generating some exciting and innovative science and engineering events that encompass all of the content areas in the National Science Education Standards, the old ones and also the new ones, which is very unique among most competitions and most organizations. So we have also really enjoyed working with and establishing a large number of partnerships with businesses and corporations throughout America, like DuPont Corporation, Lockheed Martin, and Texas Instruments, and also with government organizations like the Center for Disease Control. And all of them have helped us generate, sort of invent creative ideas that have connections to the real world, which is part of the success of this program. So it's not just a paper pencil taking of a test. The students have to demonstrate their performance and understanding of rigorous science contents. So we're kind of certain that with the collaboration of the world-class faculty from the University of Illinois, that we're going to be able to make even greater progress in how science and engineering, mathematics, and I missed part of the STEM, technology, of course, is taught and learned in all of our schools, and also increasing the number of students that will go into careers in science, which is so important to the success and growth of America in this 21st century. So the Science Olympiad has selected the University of Illinois to be its partner in this activity because not only of its leadership at the university level in science and technology, but also because of the shared commitment that you have for pre-college science education. So with the establishment of the formation of the iSTEM program, it is clear to us that the University of Illinois understands the need to create a bridge between university education, the pre-college education, and the workforce development. Over the years, as Bob has mentioned, the University of Illinois has helped us establish the Urban Initiative, has sponsored over 20 events, 15 state tournaments, two national tournaments. So we've really enjoyed working with our good friends, Lizanne DiStefano, Howard Gunther, Christine Campbell, Dr. Eikenberry, and many others. And the university has made substantial commitments, both personnel and financial, to promoting the Science Olympiad program. And we're looking forward to rolling up our sleeves and getting to work on this new and exciting venture. But we cannot accomplish this activity alone, so we're looking forward to your help, in addition to relying on the thousands of volunteers that we have through this extensive network throughout the nation. So we're looking forward to this partnership and the tremendous resources that the University of Illinois can bring to this table to promote Science Olympiad programs. Thank you very much.
I just want to say how much we appreciate all that you have done. The words that you spoke, you know, resonate with us because the notion of a creative economy, one that's rooted in science and technology and engineering and mathematics, one that is built on partnerships that is inspiring and aspirational are all the core elements of our vision for the University of Illinois. Also say that the Kennedy family used to have its own little science Olympiad, and we would have the Shrivers come over to Teddy's house, and we'd build these model rockets, which I told you about, and you know wrestle with whether to build the little quick one, the Alphas with the little A engines, or build the really big complicated ones, the Saturn V with the 4D engines, and that would take way too long for me, But the reality is that event in our family was aided almost entirely by the charge account that we had at Sport and Hobby and those unlimited resources that my mother was never aware of was a critical role. And truthfully, the unlimited resources that you all have provided the Olympiad is, you know, nothing can compare to that. And we really appreciate all that you have done. So. Thank you for that. I look forward, I think we'll all get together now as a group, our board and your board, and maybe have a photograph together. I think we're going to leave the room to do that. And before we do so, it might be helpful to have a motion to go into executive session.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
So when we return, we'll go into executive session. And we're going to talk about personnel, security, and those two issues. Thank you. regular meeting. Appreciate everybody's flexibility with the special session early on. We try to organize that so it's not as inconvenient as I think they used to be when we'd have them in the middle of the day. So I think we'll continue with that format in the future if it's appropriate. At the beginning of this meeting, we have a special guest, Carrie Heitman, who is familiar to many of us, and it's really a privilege to have her, not simply because she controls our purse strings, but because she is really regarded in Chicago as one of the most impactful leaders of corporate and not-for-profit institutions. She has tremendous respect among the different branches of government, in the House and the Senate, and in the governor's office. And she's one of the most insightful leaders in higher ed, and we look forward to learning from her today. And if it's all right with everyone, I might just ask Carrie to speak with us now.
And it's easier. Thank you all, and thanks for that kind introduction. I don't think we exactly control the purse strings, okay, just to be clear here. But we make some recommendations, and I'll talk about that some more in a moment. Thank you very much for the invitation to speak to you today. What you might not know is that I actually appeared in this room before the then current Board of Trustees of the University of Illinois about 18 months ago. And I came to speak to the board about the Illinois Public Agenda for College and Career Success. Now, I'm back here today before many new faces and a few familiar faces. I'm familiar from all different reasons, not just because of the University of Illinois. But I'm here to update you on the status of the public agenda implementation and to talk to you about some other things that have changed since then. But before I talk to you about that, I do have to say one thing. The University of Illinois is very special to me. I'm an alum, and my son is an alum, and many members of my family went to the University of Illinois. So I take great professional pride in my role as chair of the Board of Higher Education here in the state of Illinois. But this university is also very special because of the leadership role that it plays. The university has a worldwide reach in its international student body, its world-class faculty, its world-renowned research, its global reputation, although its home is, and I'm proud to say the home is, here in Illinois. In my view, what's best for the University of Illinois is what's best for the state of Illinois. Now, it was for this reason and many others that I visited with you 18 months ago and that I've come back to talk to you again this morning. And I'm back because even though there are a lot of new faces around your board table, the old problems that I talked about back then still persist, and they're even more acute today. And I'm back again to ask you for some help in meeting the challenges, and because, frankly, my last request for assistance appeared to fall on some deaf ears. Now, I've been asked to discuss the Illinois Public Agenda for College and Career Success, the role of diversity in higher education, and the work of the Higher Education Finance Study Commission. So I'll address all those issues. But what I wanted to do first is to start by describing the rather grim reality. Since 1996, excluding pension funding and accounting for inflation, state support for higher education has dropped $440 million, or 17.6%. And by the way, taking out pension, it's a huge taking out, okay? But we're just taking it out for purposes of discussion here. In the past 5 years, again, excluding pension funding, state funding for public universities, community colleges, student financial aid, and institutional grant programs has fallen $250 million, or 10.5%. This academic year, more than 100,000 eligible students were denied MAP grants because we ran out of money in April. In June of this year, the Commission on Government Forecasting and Accountability reported that general funds revenue fell $2 billion, or 7%, in fiscal year 2010. And at the end of June, the Comptroller reported a backlog of $4.7 billion in unpaid bills. And we heard from legislators as recently as just last week in the final meeting of the Higher Education Finance Commission that there is no new money, and there won't be any new money.